Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to episode 20 of the Salty Mother Clutchers podcast.
So, are you afraid of dying?
Am I afraid of dying?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah, I guess so. I've just been thinking about death, you know.
So,
as you do when it hits October. Like, so I thought it might be a good time to talk about being afraid of dying on the motorcycle.
And just like death in just general?
Death in general.
Just death.
Spooky.
Okay, I'll start with something. Maybe you can all laugh at it. I would say about, I'll give myself a little bit of credit. 90% of my rides, I very vividly visualize how I'm about to die.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah. I'm just going to say 10% of the time I don't. But I would say 90% of every ride I do, I consider how it will be that I shall die on this ride.
But you have not died yet, so far.
Fuck, knock on wood. Is that wood?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't die yet.
I find when I'm out riding, I don't think about how I'm going to die on that ride, because who knows? I could die a million different ways. But I definitely see things, and it's like, oh, it'd be really easy to die right there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're really close to a truck coming in the other direction, or you're hitting this turn right stupid. You're like, oh, you could probably die if you did that a wrong way. And you might think about that a few times on a ride.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and on top of that, probably if you ride a motorbike, you have almost gotten killed on a motorbike.
Yeah. Have you had any NDEs?
Well, totally my famous tire blowout.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that was fucked. That was hard to recover from. Like, actually physically on the ride.
Yeah.
Like, to get my bike stable and get myself off the road. But then, like, mentally, emotionally, like, I don't know. I barely even recovered. I'm still talking about it. It was like a fucking 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. I've definitely had a few scares. I'm not sure I've had that near-death scare yet. But I'm sure it's coming down the line here somewhere.
Like, you don't think you've had, like, a scare like that?
I've had, like, you know, I've been hit by a truck and, like, I had terrible things happen, but
yeah.
Nah, not like the flash before my eyes, sort of like that sort of shit. I don't know. Is that what happens?
Well, I can think of, like, maybe, well, I'll give you an example. One time, I was driving the car and there was, like, this crazy, like, freak, like, ice on the road. It was just, like, all of a sudden, the roads were fucked. I was going really slow, and then I was about to make the turn to go towards our road, and the car just, like, spun really, really fast and, like, threw me in a ditch upside down in the car. And I was screaming, like, I could hear the screaming like a fucking banshee, just, like, wailing. And it took me, like, moments to figure out that was me screaming my head off. It was like I blanked right out. I don't remember taking the keys out of the ignition. I don't remember blah, 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 blah. I had a very similar feeling when my tire blew.
Okay.
Like, it was like, holy fuck. And like some sort of crazy autopilot, and it all worked out. So
yeah. I think I would call that NDE for sure.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. And I think, like, it fucks you right up. Real good.
Which, by the way, is just death lingo for near death experience, I believe.
Yeah. I know there's examples, but I can't give you like other examples that like the freakiest shit happened. Mm. But like, I know that the freakiest shit has happened.
So are you okay with dying on the motorcycle?
I don't know.
I think it's gonna suck. Like, you know, I'd rather die like a not sucky way, if possible. And, you know, going out, you know, in a blaze of glory is like, it's got some, you know, fun aspects to it, I think. But like, I think it's going to hurt.
Yeah, I think it's going to fucking hurt. I think you're right.
And do you think like the longer, I mean, it's only a matter of time before like you or I die on the motorcycle or like, you know, someone we're riding with dies, mm-hmm. you know, whether we're with them or not with them at the time.
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, that.
That's going to be.
That fucking blows.
Yeah. But I mean, it's going to happen. I'm sure of it. Do you want to be a ghost? If you were to become a ghost, do you think you would still ride a motorcycle?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Do you think you would be like, you know, like Ghost Rider? Is that a comic book?
I don't know.
That sounds like it's probably a comic
book. Like an evil spirit motorbike rider?
Well, you can be like
would you friendly
biker doing the biker wave as a ghosty.
Could you be the Grim Reaper of Bikerville where like you come and you collect the bikers? Like you're the one that comes and takes away the bikers' lives?
Yeah, I guess. Whoa. Yeah, they'd have a pretty big bike.
I don't know.
Like I haven't really thought about it that long. I just
seems like you have. Like, do you want to die on the bike?
No. I'm not really into dying so much.
Yeah, I know, but like, well, we're going to die. Yeah. So, like, do you want it to be like, you know, Jay died doing what they love the most? Or do you want it to be like, I'm old now and I died, but I remember riding motorbikes. Glad I didn't die doing that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be something dumb. Probably it's going to be in the car or like I'm just going to like trip and fall on my face or something.
Okay, so yeah. Like, I don't know, like, do you have stories of, like, specifically death on motorbikes, and, like, a gentle one would be your sheepskin.
Oh, did I not tell that story?
I don't know.
That one's kind of spooky. No, I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was looking for a sheepskin for the bike, and found one online on the other end of the province, and go to pick it up, price is right, and this lady comes limping to the door, and nice lady. You know, I give her money, what she wanted. She gave me the sheepskin. She's like, all right, now ride safe. Like, yep, always do. It's like, you gotta watch out. You know, you never know when a car is gonna come around the corner. It's like, yep, you're right. You gotta watch out for that. My husband just died, and I got thrown from the back of the bike. And they're like, that's why she's limping. That's why I'm getting a sheepskin for such a good price. So I was like, thank you. Goodbye. So I have this haunted sheepskin that actually you're sitting on right now.
Fuck! And fuck!
I gave half of it to Bri.
Did you?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a little cursed. Someone died on that. So I guess the only other story that I have, which I'll just be quick about it, because I think we're gonna know a lot of people that have friends and relatives that probably die on bikes just because of our proximity to bike people and bike culture.
Yeah.
So that happened to me like when we first started riding. I worked with another biker. They were just going home on a lunch break. They live not too far from where we worked. And you'd see them practicing wheelies all the time in the parking lot. And it's like, this guy's fucking mental.
Yeah.
But in general, just like a chilled rider. Rode the bike every day, rain or shine. So that we had in common. We had that connection. And just went home for lunch one day and got sideswiped by a truck.
Yeah.
And he wasn't gone from the shop probably more than 5 minutes.
Ugh.
And it was done. So it's just crazy. Like, it blew our minds at the time that could happen to someone that we knew.
Yeah. Like some we know and another like young person.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And super younger, young. Younger than us.
Yeah. And I still had my bike with me. So this is all going through my brain. It's like shit. And we had to close up the shop that day, of course.
Yeah.
And I still had to take my bike home. Yeah. So I was like a little bit shaken by that, but it was a crazy experience to know someone that, you know, we weren't like super tight friends, but like,
it was your coworker.
It was a coworker. Worked with this person every day. So that was a bit crazy.
That did that end the season for you?
Riding?
I feel like it kind of did.
It might. No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because it was near the beginning of the season.
Okay.
But later that summer, we ended up with my old band, Liquid Vapors. We dedicated the next album to this person.
Okay.
And that album comes with Motorcycle Fistfight, obviously.
Okay.
Which is not about anything, but
it's not about that.
No. But like, it's about motorcycles.
It's a monster hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really sad story.
Yeah, and I think about that often, because like, it just happens so quickly.
Yeah.
And like I said a couple times already, I think the longer we ride and the more we ride, it's just going to be inevitable. Like, you know, you're going to drop your bike at some point.
Yeah.
You're going to get into a fender bender at some point. This is going to happen at some point. And someone you know is going to die at some point.
Yeah. Like we've talked to multiple people on the podcast already who have been in like pretty like major accidents.
Yeah.
Like big, big accidents. So like they were very lucky, you know, and that's fucking awesome that they get back on their bikes and they continue to ride. And maybe, yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear what their thoughts are on like dying on a motorbike, but you know, they already didn't.
Do you think there is like a digital Ouija board?
What?
Like,
wait, if, like,
could we get someone to like call in?
Do you just mean like, do you want to talk to a medium?
I think so, but like, can I record it? Can you record that stuff? Ghosts what? Don't like being recorded.
Oh, you want to talk to specifically ghosts.
I guess the medium.
You want to talk to the ghost, but like, you can talk to a medium who can talk to a ghost.
Right. Yeah, I guess we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, the ghost can't call in.
Ghost on Skype?
1-800 salty fuck.
Salty fuck.
That's what our number is, right? But a medium could call us and tell us who do you want them to talk to? You want them to talk to your buddy?
Just anyone.
In general. Dial up anybody or dial up someone who died on a motorbike.
There'd be a
did line, it hurt?
A lineup of like dead bikers wanting to get on this podcast, I'm
fuck.
Sure.
Fuck.
I'm sure there's probably a couple nearby.
Well, they probably want to say some shit to us.
I mean, we don't get cell reception where we live. We barely get internet where we live. I don't know how well a medium's going to work here either.
I don't know if the medium's energy comes through the fucking cell towers.
Or maybe that's why we don't have cell reception. Because the medium fucking energy is so dense.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that.
I don't know. Yeah.
We're going to go for a ride today and let's try not to die.
Fuck.
Wouldn't that be dumb?
Ugh. And the podcast wouldn't even have gone out.
I can start uploading now.
Just don't even edit it. Just straight to upload, just in case.
Yeah.
And like, we need to set the published date and time. And
that would be the time of our death.
Oh. Whoa.
Whoa.
No.
Well, this podcast is turning
this
dark.
This is really going south.
And we have another, looking at my watch, it's not even a watch.
It's a bracelet.
We have another, I'm not sure what the date is today, but we have another podcast in October too, right?
Yeah. Like, well, this podcast comes out on the 7th. So that means our next one comes out on the 21st.
So
we have one more before Halloween.
So we're going to have to like out spook death somehow on that episode.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
That one's going to be...
We might just have to come back as Ghost just to like up the ante a little bit.
Just come back as Ghost to record one more time. And we should do a Halloween special if we come back as Ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, wait. And this is how I'll do it. Hi, I'm Jay.
And I'm Aaron.
And I'm a ghost.
And I'm also a ghost.
There. Now we're ghosts on the podcast.
My name is Brittany. I ride a 2012 Sportster Iron for 12, 13 years now, 22 to 35, 13 years. Math. and I am in Victoria, British Columbia.
Sweet. So you're like very far away. West Coast, we're East Coast.
Yeah, one island to the next.
That's right. We're as far away as... Oh, I guess not quite as far away as we could be.
But almost.
Almost.
Really. I guess we would have to be Newfoundland.
That's right.
You get to ride, you can ride year round there, can't you?
I was riding yesterday.
Yeah. And I know that I've seen like just on Instagram and stuff that like you ride in, it's fucking in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, we just get rain mostly. There's maybe a 2 week window. Actually, there's maybe a 2 week window where there's like a centimeter of snow and the West Coast shuts down and we don't do anything.
That's crazy. And it's
apocalyptic and yeah, all the city resources go towards like the snow removal.
Wow.
But other than that, yeah, I think you can pretty much ride year round on the island, on Vancouver Island. I have, that said, I actually only just insured my motorcycle until mid-October this year because this is the first year that I've only insured it for 6 months versus the entire year. And that's because I'm having a baby.
Woo!
So I didn't think there would be a whole lot of opportunity to get on my motorcycle as I'm 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll have to eye up a sidecar now.
Totally, right?
Absolutely.
Like, how far along are you?
Like just over 6.5 months.
And like, do you find, like, does it affect, like, sorry for being like a person who's never been pregnant before, but no, like,
me too.
Like, does it affect like how you ride?
No, I thought it really would. I went on a trip around British Columbia this summer with my girlfriend, actually a couple of us girls, and I was kind of doing the math in anticipation of the trip, planning like, okay, at this point I'm going to be how many months along or whatever. I also refuse to say weeks because nobody knows weeks. Like, who knows weeks?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm like 30 some weeks. Like, no, what? Yeah. No idea.
And I thought, so I gave her obviously the heads up because I just told her, you know, my kind of, my style, my sustainability or whatever, how far I'm able to go the distance might change by then. Thinking that I was going to be, you know, really uncomfortable and really awkward and everything. And it was totally fine. Oh. We just slowed down anyway, as far as like our kilometers per day, just because we couldn't really get out of the province because of COVID. So yeah, we were like, whoa, no point in hauling ass to try to get anywhere crazy far. And we just kind of took our time. And it was actually because of COVID and travel restrictions and because of being pregnant, it was really nice because we just used that as an opportunity to slow down and take stops more than we probably would have. And
do you find like since the lockdown and everything that you've been exploring, I mean, out of necessity, like more stuff around you?
Yeah, like, for sure. Like, yeah, totally. The summer. Yeah, totally.
Because like one lockdown here forever, like we have this Atlantic bubble thing going on now. But prior to that, like, PEI is pretty small. Yeah. So, like, we exhausted a lot of those rides pretty quick. But it was nice to kind of get out and see, you know, some of the smaller spots that you don't get to see very often.
Well, and you do it, and then you're like, you're in a part of the country, you guys too. I mean, well, anywhere in Canada, it's so beautiful. But, like, you're in a part of the country that people, like, you're in a place that is people's travel bucket list to go to.
Yeah. And we take that for granted a lot. So this lockdown shit was kind of a good opportunity to kind of stick around home and kind of take in things that we don't normally take in.
Yeah,
totally. And after like our trip this summer too, like I thought to myself, like, you know what, who knows what the future is going to look like and how long this is going to last and what travel restrictions will be like next summer or whatever. And I was like, I feel good that if this continues, if this province is within all I'm able to travel to for a while, like there's so much to explore. And I mean, you have like the mountains and the ocean and lakes and rivers, and you've got a big city in Vancouver. You've got tons of small towns, if that's more your thing. Like mm-hmm. You've got vineyards, there's deserts, like there's every kind of landscape that you could be craving. And so much of the reason that people go to like out of country to like states like California or whatever, it's like, we have that here.
So on the East Coast here, we have the Cabot Trail, which we talk about nonstop pretty well. Is there like a, you know, a quintessential ride that you have over there that, you know, it's a must do if like we were to travel to visit. Is there like one ride that, you know, we got to do?
Yeah, well, I hope it's not an if you were to travel to visit.
Well, when we can.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure, 100%. There's one called Duffy Lake Road, which is around like Whistler and Pemberton. And it's, you know, you've got mountains and the lake on your right side. And yeah, it's unbelievable. Wildlife and just beautiful rocky landscapes and just nature, like pristine nature. But honestly, there's like so many, like on Vancouver Island, you could go around Tofino, which is like world-class surfing as well. And so it's like crashing waves and people go there even in shitty weather just to storm watch. Like you guys have parts of PEI like that too, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
there's, or the interior, Kelowna and Kamloops and Osoyoos, which is desert and it's hot AF and it's like 35 degrees, you know? So if you really like that heat and that dry heat and you've got more kind of desert landscape, like there's just so many, whatever, I would ask you what are you kind of craving for and maybe what's the most different from home?
Well,
mountains, I guess.
The obvious difference is mountains. Like yeah. I'm from Cape Breton and there's mountains there, but I have been to BC and it's different. So yeah. I think I would be interested in mountains for sure.
Mountain riding. Yeah. Okay, for sure. I've got some for you. Yeah, the Rockies, they're pretty impressive. You perhaps have heard about them.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, but we have like red dirt over here.
That is true. Yeah, I remember when I went to visit you guys and you're right behind or beside like the Anne of Green Gables Museum, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like super close. And obviously you're so over it because it's your backyard. But I remember being like riding out to stay at your place and being like, oh my God, I think I see like, is that Anne of Green Gables? And like,
yeah.
And being like so geeked about it. And then I remember visiting you guys and like you made a comment like something like, oh yeah. And like the Anne of Green Gables is like right beside us, whatever. And I remember like taking your cue and being like, oh, okay, that's like not cool. That's nerdy. So I remember being like, yeah, whatever. That's cool. It's just Anne of Green Gables, just like Canadian history in your backyard.
The museum is, it's less than 5 kilometers from our house.
Yeah.
And then it's like maybe 10 kilometers more to get to the Lucy Maud Montgomery birthplace house. Like, we live in Anne of Green Gables.
I know. And you were so like nonchalant about it. And then I was like, and you guys are like cool too. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. I don't really care about Anne of Green Gables, like CBC, whatever books. But I remember going home and being like, that's where I stayed in Anne of Green Gables. And I was like, that's so cool. I'm like red dirt, like farmland.
Yeah. So, I mean, the obvious thing that like we need to talk to you about is we met total strangers, right? What was it? 2017.
Yeah.
This Brittany is going on her Harley Davidson from Victoria to Newfoundland. Explain yourself.
It was Canada's 150th. So it was kind of like a kick in the pants to see this country. I've done a lot of like travel to the States on my motorcycle. And I realized like I've only ever been as far east as Alberta and a plane trip to Toronto once for something work related. And I've always wanted to go, and my fascination with Newfoundland came from living in Fort McMurray, like very briefly when I was starting my career in radio, and that was my first radio job. And there's so many people in Fort Mac from Newfoundland, and I remember meeting like everyone who I met up there who was from Newfoundland was like amazing and so jovial and nice and friendly and welcoming. And that's when I was like, wow, I want to go to where you guys are from, because if you're a representation of Newfoundland, like you're part of the country, sounds pretty awesome. So that's always been kind of just the goal. And then, 2017 came around, Canada's 150th. I thought this is a great opportunity. Although I started the planning of it like a year in advance. And the staying with strangers part, and doing it by myself, I don't know. I'm also very like directionally challenged and And I'm totally cool to always ride by myself and get lost, and because then you just only have yourself to blame or whatever. But I always feel like awkward if I never like to lead, unless, you know, I had friends from PEI staying with me in Victoria and I could tour you guys around BC. But other than that, I don't like to lead. And so then, and the longer you don't do something, the kind of scarier it becomes, right? So I was like, okay, this is also a good opportunity to put myself out of my comfort zone and do this trip. And everyone's like, you can't get lost. You can only wind up in Newfoundland. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I could probably figure out a way to get to Mexico. So it was important to push myself outside of that. And then just like staying with strangers, I've met so many strangers on my travels on my bike. So I thought, yeah, I would reach out to strangers across the country and introduce myself via Instagram, and the emails kind of went like this, like, hey, I'm Brittany, I'm from Victoria, I ride a motorcycle, this is what I'm trying to do, I'd love to stay with strangers along the way as a means of meeting people, meeting Canadian riders along the way, and can I stay with you for the night, and don't be weird and creepy, and if you're ever on the West Coast, like, you will have a place to stay with me, and I also won't be weird and creepy. And I was the first person that I kind of dipped my toe into the water with was a woman in Montreal. I call them my stranger in Montreal, and her name was Diane, and she was so receptive and so into it. And that's the when I started with her, I was like, okay, if she's into it, this will give me the encouragement that I know that this is a thing that could actually happen, and I could keep going with other strangers across the country, because I was like, Montreal is super far. There's the language barrier. I've never been there. I'm totally cold calling this woman. So if anyone's going to say no, it's going to be her. And yeah, she was so, so into it. And that's when I had the encouragement. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a thing. And I thought to myself, if someone did the same to me, you know, you can creep people on social media, so you yeah. can kind of see what they're all about. And I would say yes, like, why not? And everyone said yes. And then it also got to a point where I think maybe some, through the power of social media, some people started hearing about it from others, because then I got a couple emails from other people who were inviting me and offering me a place to stay if I needed somewhere along the way. So it was kind of this like snowball effect, and it was 90% women who I stayed with, who I reached out to, out of my mom's kind of preference for that. But I definitely, yeah, I stayed with some guys along the way as well. Actually, my stranger in Regina, his name is Judd, and he was the one who reached out to me, and he heard about it, and he has a wife and kids and twin boys. And it was also really cool to find out why people said yes, or invited me, like to find out what their motivation was. And I remember Judd in Regina, his motivation to invite me. And he's like, I still got to ask my wife, like, just to make sure. But he's like, I have two kids, two twin boys, and I want to show them, an act of kindness and hospitality, and teach them from an early age that like strangers aren't, you know, all bad and scary, and what can happen and how you can make new friends, right? Because they're in that stage of like trying to meet new friends and expand their bubble from just their family members, right? So I was like, oh, cool. I'm like part of your kids' lesson wow. in being cool people.
How long were you on the road for?
Like 3.5 weeks, maybe. 25, 26 days. So I rode out one way, and then I would have loved to return home on my bike, but unfortunately I just didn't have the time off work. So I shipped it back. Actually, I went back on a Harley Davidson truck that was just going from dealership to dealership, dropping off bikes along the way. And so it took a while for it to get back to me in Victoria after all its stops, but it was a pretty cool way to do it, and way cheaper than a lot of other options. And then I just flew home.
Yeah. Wow. That is a really cool option though, for like getting the bike back to you.
Totally.
If you have the patience to wait for your bike back. But I feel like if you lived on your bike for 3.5 weeks, it's easier to like let it go for a little bit.
100%. I totally thought that because they were like, okay, you probably won't get it back for like two to three weeks once you get home. And I was like, oh my gosh. But it was a welcome change to just not be on a motorcycle every day. So I was okay. And then by the time I did get it back, it was, yeah, it was like I had time to miss it, you know?
Yeah. Do you know how many, kilometers it was that you put on during the trip?
It was like 10,000, just over 10,000.
Yeah. Wow.
That's yeah. Awesome. Cause of course, like Victoria to Newfoundland isn't, it's less than 10,000, but you know, you do lots of side roads, and that was the coolest thing too. I mean, there's so many cool things about staying with strangers, but one of the coolest things, and that was the other motivation, I wanted to stay with people, who rode so that you could get that like back road tour of their city or town, right?
Yeah, totally.
And get off the highways or whatever and have a local guide who was just as enthusiastic about riding and showing you like the most beautiful places. Like you guys asked me where I would take you in Victoria or in BC. So it was like I had a local guide in every province who took me to some of the best rides.
Yeah.
So I think like when you think of Canada as a whole, like we have a pretty broad knowledge of like what different provinces are like. Was there any province or any ride or anything that like just, you know, struck you by surprise?
I didn't realize how long it would take to get out of Ontario. Like yeah. Ontario is like a big province. And it was beautiful. Also, there's a separate time zone. There's two different time zones within Ontario.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
But so that was a kind of shocker. And by the time I was in Ontario, I'd been by myself for a long time. People came with me for a few hours or half a day of the next day ride, or they would meet me, but nobody came for an extended amount of time. So I had my local kind of connection there, my local riding for that day or the next day. But besides that, it was like largely riding by myself. And I remember in Ontario, there were times where I was kind of like nodding off just because it was so, just such long days between towns or cities. So I remember having like a couple like lake, thank God for all their beautiful like lakeside turnouts. Like, I mean, Ontario, it was so beautiful, but I definitely had a couple like lakeside road naps on my motorcycle because I was doing the nod off, like that's scary. And when you don't have anyone with you and you're riding 900 kilometers in a day or whatever. So that was surprising. BC like was kind of surprising in the sense of just there was so many different landscapes within the province. Like I said, like desert, town, city, like you saw, like it's just such a big country and you get to see everything. Like every province has its own identity, but then even within every province, there's like Eastern this and Western this that has its own, you know, kind of climate or whatever. I remember being on the ferry. I didn't also realize the ferry from Sydney, Nova Scotia to Newfoundland was so long. It was overnight. Like they offer on that one, on that sailing, they offer for an extra cost, you get like a sleeping room.
Yeah. Did you get one?
No, I didn't get one for a couple of reasons because they were sold out.
Okay.
Also because but even if they had them available, I probably wouldn't have because I would have just wanted to stay, you know, you want to take everything in that you can. Like they had like, I feel like there was like a little mini casino and like a nightclub, like a band was playing and it was pretty comfortable. Like they had lots of couches around the perimeter of the ferry. So I just kind of slept and I mean, I wanted to see what I didn't want to miss anything. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't actually, because I got on the ferry and there was another biker couple who saw me get on. So I'm walking around the ferry, getting my bearings for the next 17 hours. And they came up to me. I'm trying to remember Doug and Karen, I feel like. I've got it written down. They're so lovely. Anyway, they came up to me and, you know, introduced themselves. And, oh, we saw you on a motorcycle. We're on a motorcycle as well. We're from Newfoundland. We just went to Halifax for the week or whatever. Anyway, we had a drink together. They came and met me later, and we had, like, a beer or whatever. And then they went to their sleeping quarters and got their good refreshed sleep. And then I was telling them when we were visiting, like, what my plan was and who I was and what I was doing. And I remember, like, the woman, she was, like, kind of, like, it alerted some, she's a mom, and so I think she kind of got a little, like, you're doing this all by yourself, and, like, just a female, and you're staying, do you know who you're staying with in St. John's, and what, you've never met them, and you found them on the internet, and oh my gosh. And I was, like, it's fine, I've been doing this for a few weeks, like, I'm good, I'm still here. Anyway, so we said goodnight and stuff, and then they came up to me the next day, and they were, like, it was pissing rain, and they were like, let's go to Tim Hortons. There's a Tim Hortons just off the ferry. Like, we'll get a cup of coffee and breakfast, and then you can start your day with something warm and whatever in your stomach. And I was like, okay, sure. So we went to Tim's together. And then I think overnight she, her mom instincts kind of, like, went into full force. And then she was like, we were talking, like, we'd like to ride you to your, to the turnoff of where you need to go to meet your stranger in St. John's. We're not too far from that. And we just like to make sure you at least get to the vicinity. And I was like, okay, sure. Yeah, that's cool. I'll take the company. And they were so nice. And so I'm like, we're riding to Anne-Marie. That's my stranger in St. John's. And we're riding to her house. And I keep, like, seeing them, like, I'm not losing them in my rear view mirror. Like, I'm like, okay, how far are they coming? And then we get into this, like, total neighborhood community. And I'm like, this is off the highway. Like, there's no way they're still, they live here. Like, why are they still following me? And we get to the house, and Anne-Marie's in the driveway and stuff. And they just wanted to, they just wanted to meet her and see her in person and make sure she wasn't, I don't know, a weirdo, I guess.
Make sure she wasn't like a serial killer. Later,
and he was like, if anything happens, yeah. So that was really cool. They were so nice. And they were like, if anything weird, if you don't feel comfortable, here's our number. Here's my wife's number. Here's our kid's number. Here's kind of where we live.
Wow.
So you set out to kind of...
There was a lot of like those kinds of shows of support.
So you kind of set out to look for like some kindness in Newfoundland or on the East Coast. And you literally ran into that on the ferry to Newfoundland.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I didn't even arrive in Newfoundland, and they were already extending their homes to me. Yeah, no, for sure. No, and yeah, my strangers in Newfoundland were amazing. Yeah, I mean, everybody was.
That's awesome.
So I think a lot of people, perhaps on the West Coast, have a bad reputation for calling Toronto the East Coast. So are you over that now?
Yeah.
Are you over that?
Yeah, I don't even call Newfoundland the East Coast. That's Atlantic Canada.
Oh.
Yeah.
I learned that because I was like, yeah, I think like in Newfoundland, like they a lot of people that I met there were like, we're even beyond the East, we're Atlantic Canada. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think there, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you did one thing on your trip, though, that made me really angry with you.
Oh, God.
You?
One thing on my trip that made... I didn't go to Labrador?
You didn't ride the Cabot Trail, did you?
Oh, I know.
Brittany.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. That it was like torrential. Like I said, when I got to the ferry, it was torrential downpour. The weather was not in my favor. It was not... And I'm not afraid of rain at all or anything like that, but time was running out, and I could have done it time wise, but it wouldn't have. I was like, you know what, I just don't feel like this is going to be enjoyable with shitty weather, and then it gives me less time in like 2 days less in Newfoundland, and because of the ferry schedule too.
Yeah.
They don't run like they run every other day or something, so you kind of have to take your window when it's there. I could have done the Cabot Trail, but it would have meant 2 days less in Newfoundland, and I would have had to do that beautiful ride, like sobbed in fog and rain. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna come back.
Yeah, I think that's what we talked about.
That was a hard one.
Yeah, just do it next time. Do it do it fresher than maybe you know, not having like shitty weather day and being like in a time crunch hustle. Because, it's definitely not something that you want to hustle through. And not if you're already not having a great time, like, with weather and shit and, like, the stress and the pressure of your timeline, really, it's way more worth it to save it. But I was like, oh, no. Brittany.
I know.
Sad.
I know.
If you want to come back and you're short on time again, like not to do a whole Canada-wide trip, fly out. We'll set you up with a bike.
Yeah, right? You fly out to somewhere in the Atlantic provinces. We'll figure out like how you get a bike, and then we'll go and do the Cabot Trail together because we can guide you on the Cabot Trail.
Totally. I would love to do that. Yeah, for sure. That was the other thing, you know, guys, is that like it was a real lesson in like kind of humbling yourself and your ego, and unfortunately just like accepting that, okay, you can't do everything, even though you really, really want to. And it was kind of cool. Like you have to really like recognize your limits and, you know, honor them kind of, which is, I think, a cool just life lesson, and applying that to all kinds of areas of your life.
Yeah. I imagine like setting out on a trip like that, like there would be that element of having a lot of different pressures on yourself. And like, even could have been something as simple as, based on like your riding days or whatever, like you didn't meet one of the strangers that you had said that you were going to meet or whatever, like, like missing those things too. So
I didn't meet one stranger in Toronto who, I wanted to so, so badly. And I was trying so hard, but that was the other thing. Like, I didn't realize how far south Toronto was to the rest of my route through Ontario.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And, but you know, but then in that, in missing her, unfortunately, I'm sad that I missed Kamala, but, I had left Thunder Bay, and I got a couple hours out of Thunder Bay to this town called Blind River. And I was at a Tim Hortons. My whole trip was unofficially sponsored Tim Hortons on my whole cross Canada trip. I ate there like every day. But I met these two guys, Jason and Blake, and they were in line at Tim's, and they were bikers. And we started chatting in the lineup, and they were from Edmonton, but they were coming from, Nova Scotia, going back to Edmonton. So they went from Edmonton to Nova Scotia, and they were on their way back, but they get to Blind River, Ontario, and they were on these like old shovel heads, and their bikes broke down, or one of their bikes broke down, and they were stranded at Tim's trying to figure out a way to get home, and they'd exhausted all of their efforts to like repair the bike mechanically. So I was like, okay, well now I feel like I'm invested in your drama. So I stayed with them at the Tim Hortons parking lot for like 5 hours. And ultimately what they did is they bought like a shitty old van, like a minivan. And they took apart one of the bikes that was broken and just loaded it into the van in parts and then drove back to Edmonton. And, it was really, 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 this is such a cool thing to talk to you guys about it. Like, you know, when things just go back in your memory bank and you of course remember them, but you don't think about them on the daily.
Yeah.
And now it's like just all bringing back these great, that was honestly like the best time of my life.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was such a epic trip, and just like, I could believe it, because I knew when I set out to do it that I was going to be greeted with so much generosity because people are so good, but just that it far surpassed my expectations, and it just like filled, this is so cheesy, it just like filled me up so much and like overflowed me with emotions of how nice these random people were, and how just of all the freaking opportunities that things could go wrong, like there were so many opportunities that it could go sideways, you know what I mean? And it never did. It just kept getting better and better and better. And it was just so overwhelming to have this amazing over-the-top experience. And so when I got home, I was like, I needed time to like just chill and sit with it for a while before I started making anything about it. Like I almost couldn't, okay, this is so cheesy, but I almost felt like my like heart couldn't handle revisiting it because it already like made my heart burst the first time doing it in real life. So then to like put it into any kind of piece of work afterwards, I don't know if I could have handled it.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know if I'm even going to do any of these strangers justice. Like what I have, and there's no words or anything that I can even try to put together to like explain how rad they were or this experience was. So then you're almost like, then what's the point of even trying? And so, but then that's stupid. That's not the way you should look at things.
So I apologize if this is triggering then.
I know. in the best way. I know this sounds, it was very emotional. Like, how do you like, and just so cool, like to see your country that you've never seen and to do it in your favorite way possible and to share it with people that you just cold called on the internet. Like, what?
You know what fucking sucks?
What fucking sucks?
When people, especially non-riders, tell you really long stories about people who got in motorcycle accidents and died or didn't die.
Yeah. Any story about people who don't ride bikes. Like, oh, the one time I saw a motorcycle.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess any story they tell you about a motorcycle. But I don't know what it is. And, like, because of my job, like, I talk to people all the time. And they just want to be like, oh, you be careful on that bike, because did you hear what happened to so-and-so down east? And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, so-and-so died on a motorcycle because the car didn't see them. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, look, Robert, I'm just trying to buy some gas. You don't need to be telling me. I still have more riding to do today.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear this story right now.
I don't need your bad energies and your bad vibes ruining my ride here.
Yeah, I've already thought about dying like 600 times on the ride today. Like, you don't need to remind me that, oh, you're really gonna die, be safe.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. People always want to tell you those fucking stories, and they tell them in great fucking detail. And it's like, stop fucking telling me those fucking stories. You don't even know about motorcycles. You don't even know what it's like to ride a motorcycle. So why would you want to put like bad fucking energies into someone's brain right before they go ride a motorcycle?
Yeah, and it literally happens like often. Like, yes. So often. You stop, it's usually at a gas station or it's at a restaurant or something in the parking lot. Dude fucking waddles over from his truck.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice Indian you got there. I had an Indian once. Yep, almost died. Gotta quit that. That's too dangerous for me. Good luck.
And then they throw in there, but my buddy did die, and so-and-so died, and I heard that someone down the street might die today. And it's like, fuck off.
Yep, good day for a ride. Fun little things if you don't die.
You know, people sitting in my chair, I'm like trying to give you a fucking haircut. Like, I'll cut you. Stop telling me these goddamn stories.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Salty Mother Clutchers. If you'd like to get in contact with us, or if you might have an idea of what fucking sucks, hit us up on Instagram at Salty Mother Clutchers, or on Twitter at Mother Clutchers.
Who needs to be told about your friend who died? Like, I'm sorry.
There's a little fruit fly going through your mouth and your face.
Fuck this guy.
Can I Google something while we're talking?
Hi. I'm Aaron.
I'm not ready.
You're never fucking ready.
You have a couch in your kitchen.
Yeah, no, this is necessary.
Everybody does. I don't know. Like, what do you want? An award?
La 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 la. I'm not listening.
I 100% agree with that.
Oh, fuck. You just steal their spirits, right? And take off.
No pun intended.
I'm so sorry that happened to your friend in the 80s.